Hello and welcome to the Four Thumps Irish Boxing Podcast season finale. It's a World Championship special this week. Now, as you'll hear in a minute, in 2008, late great trainer Emmanuel Stewart told our team member Kieran Gallagher that Andy Lee would one day become world middleweight champion. Last weekend in Las Vegas, the Limerick middleweight achieved just that.
Ladies and gentlemen, here at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, the end comes at 1 minute. 10 seconds of round number 6, the winner by TKO victory, and now the WBO middleweight champion of the world, Irish Andy Lee.
I thought about this moment, I thought about winning it, and I had a speech prepared in my mind, and I'd like to say thank you to this man, Adam Booth, my coach. My manager has done so much for me over the last couple of years. This title's for him, but it's also for the man who made me, Emmanuel Stewart. I lived with him for nearly 7-8 years, and I learned so much, and I owe this title. He said I would win the world title when I turned pro tonight. I met him true.
There's no doubt in my mind that he's the best middleweight in the world, and this is from watching him and having a Mac Fadden and Whitehead, a real nerve. They came and went with that one song. It's an Irish name, McFadden and Whitehead, yeah. I'm billing him to be the biggest international star ever in the history of this sport. And after he wins the championship, we want to try to once a year have a fight in Ireland. He can do that because Andy wants to be a busy champion. He don't want to be fighting, you know, one fight or two fights a year like these guys do. That's why we're doing what we're doing now. And so I think he'll fight one fight a year here. He said he wants to be the first middleweight champion to go defend his title in a Latin country, like going to Puerto Rico, to Mexico, and be a truly international star. The real deal that's going to bring the really dignity back to the Irish fans and family and the boxing people is going to be this man here. And that's what I said. It's not just he's an Irish fighter. He's a good fighter. And the fact that he's Irish is going to be a bonus. And that's what's picking up all over. So his fan base is growing every day now.
Hello there and welcome to the 8th and final edition of the Four Thumps Irish Boxing Podcast, the final one for this season anyway. You're joined today by me, your host Kevin Byrne. I've got Kieran Gallagher with me here. Eric's back, and Eric, we've got a very special guest today. You like to introduce him?
Yes, we have a very special guest today. It all started 8 sessions ago, 8 episodes ago with Katie Taylor, our greatest ever female boxer, and the newest world champion, Mr. Andy Lee, is in the house. The champ is in the house. How are you doing, Andy?
Good, lads. Thanks for having me back on.
Well, it's great to have you here, Andy. So, we've a lot of questions for you, and we know that you've been a busy boy over the last couple of days. You've been the most sought after person in the country, I think. You're like the Taoiseach to get at times. But we have you here. We're going to ask you a couple of questions, and maybe bring you back down memory lane, where it all started for me and you as two schoolboys. Because you've got to the top of your journey, and I suppose it would be interesting to find out as you reflect back on that journey, not just to the results, but the memories from training camps and championships. It'd be great to hear some stories from you.
Again, Andy, we'd like to welcome you to the Four Thumps Podcast, and thank you. You were our first guest on our first show, so It was great to see you win the title on Saturday night against Matt Karabov. 6-round knockout, come from behind, second time in a row. And I see you're walking around Dublin now, and people are just greeting you and smiling at you and waving at you. And how has your life changed in the last few days?
Nothing's really changed for me. The realisation that you're world champion gives you a great feeling of satisfaction. And, yesterday I went out on my own for the first time for a walk around, and I was a little bit anxious, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but everyone just stopping and saying hello and well done and shaking your hand, and you know, most people are not too bad, they take a photo and not too demanding, so it's grand. It's nice feeling, like to get that, and people beeping their horns and stuff like that, you know, it's nice.
Have you watched the fight back yet?
I watched it once in Adam's house. I actually watched it twice in the house
because we haven't stopped watching.
I watched the highlight a few times on this little video, isn't it, on the internet, on Twitter or whatever. I watched that, And then I watched the fight in full twice, with once with Adam, and we all watched it, and then once with Roger Caldova. Mm-hmm. So we watched it then as well. And yeah, it's good. I fought, like, I like, come from behind. No, they had me down, whatever, all the round. Didn't give me one round, I don't think, the commentator. And I think it wasn't a good reflection of the fight. I thought I boxed very well. I knew I was probably... I think a lot of people had, like, the commentators anyway, especially, had their minds made up before I even got in the ring, like, in... with the Jackson fight, like I said before, with the first round knockdown, it kind of tilted things in his favour, so there was that feeling. But when I watched that fight again, I don't see... he was winning the fight, Jackson, because he had the knockdown and he was coming on strong. He had slightly more momentum, but the rounds were all close. And if you take away that first round knockdown, it's an even fight. And I don't know, like, the fight with Karov, I thought it was an even fight as well up to that point. I thought he was edging, but only on a couple of, like, one jab or two good clean jabs that was edging him the round. So yeah, there was not really too much in it. And so, like, I think, like I said, they probably had their minds made up, and that they were seeing what their minds were prepared, ready, what they expect, probably what they expected to see, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, which, like, you know what I mean, the stoppage came when I got up off the stool for that round. Adam said, like, go to work now, pick it up a bit. Like, he was telling me not to be impatient in the corner, because that wasn't the plan. We set out to lose the first four rounds, but as long as I was maintaining with him, I could see it in his demeanor, I could see it in his face, how he was looking. And I knew he didn't want, like, every time I engaged with him, he'd take a little bit longer to re-engage with me, you know. And I could just see he was wanting to slow down. And I think he had, I don't know, like, Carver, I think he has, like, some sort of mental block or something. Once he gets past those first few rounds, he kind of, I don't know, because he was so amateur for so many years, but maybe he just can't get his head around doing 10 or 12 rounds, you know what I mean? But it seems like the thought of being tired scares him more so and creates more anxiety, so he actually gets more tired, you know. I don't know, it just seems that way, you know.
It's a bit kind of a peculiar one, because it was a big world title fight and one of your hardest tests to date. I don't know if you're the sort of person who feels pain physically after a fight and needs to recover for a few days, but I don't gather you would have had that feeling after this fight, because for all the rounds you were supposedly losing, you didn't really get tagged that much. You caught a few jabs, maybe that's why people were scoring it to Karabov, but you didn't really get rocked or hit hard with any hooks or anything significant. Have you had much recovery to make after the fight?
No, not at all. Just the time, the jet lag, and, like, you know, you're not getting much sleep. But your mind is active as well after these things, especially in the, like, the last few days. It's been kind of, we, you know, flew back to Limerick, and there was a big meet and greet there, which was amazing. But it was also very tiring, you know what I mean? And then go up here, and yesterday run around doing interviews and things like that, you know, and you go into bed at night and it's just like your mind is just too active. You can't just kind of turn it off. So that's more of the recovery. It was a clash of heads in one of the rounds and a bit of a bruising on my cheek, but that's it, really. It was nothing. Like you said, it was one of the easiest fights. Like, physical beatings on the man, it was one of the easiest fights I've had.
Surprising?
Yeah. No, not really. Like, yeah, you think about the fight I had this year with Frank Horta, like, that was one who was supposed to walk, and that was my hardest fight of the year, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That was the hardest fight in my last, since Chavez, really. That's been my hardest fight.
Mm-hmm. When you're looking back on fights, like, such a tremendous moment for you, are you still slightly critical of yourself? Like, do you see things that you would irritate you or that you need to work on, despite the fact that it's something you should really be celebrating?
Yeah, I can, yeah. Like, especially when there was, like, those couple of steady jabs that cost me the rounds, you know. Just because I was getting too happy, you know. I was getting a bit too over, getting a bit eager to, like, land on him, because I knew I could, you know, and he was still wasn't ready to be. He still had enough about him physically and sharpness wise to catch me and counter me. So that was, but I, you know, he was weary of me the whole fight, because all he was, basically, he had nothing to bottom. All he had to bottom, like, he was doing a double jab and a left hand to the body. That's all he could do, and I was giving it to him, and I was turning from it. But the reason he was doing, like, he was weary because he didn't want to open up, and that gave me confidence. That said enough in itself that he wasn't willing to throw a straight left hand to my head, because I was thinking, like, he's throwing this left hand to the body, he's putting it to the body all the time. The next one that comes is going to be to the head, like, he's going to set a pattern where I look for that body shot, and the next one's going to come to the head, but it never did come. And that in itself told me that he was afraid of me in some way, you know.
Yeah, I was watching him, and he kind of looked. He was never comfortable on the inside.
He lost. He ran out of ideas. You know what I mean? Yeah. After a while, he ran out of ideas.
He looked to me like a guy that wanted to get out before the punches even landed. You know what I mean? Get in and get out so fast. It was that time. Funny enough, I actually said on the podcast, the seventh show, to build up to your fight, Andy Lee show, we call it. I actually said. That both boxers have loved the left hand to the body, a left uppercut to the body, I said, but their favourite punch, both of their favourite punches is the right hook. And ironically, it both threw the right hook at the same time in the inside. And thankfully, your one landed first. But when I was watching it, it was a cracking punch, just landed on the chin. It couldn't have been any sweeter. And then I seen Khorobov, and he was almost like a new foal being born. And he was trying to gather his feet, but you weren't in the picture. Yeah. And I was like, where are you, Andy? You know what I mean? Come on, man. Come back. And it felt like ages before you come back. What was going on for you? Were you looking at him?
Because I thought it's that same thing, the Jackson thing and the Carl and other ones. Like when you hit them and you, before you know it, I thought he was going down. So I was going to the corner. But it's like it happened so fast. You know what I mean? Like I said it before, it's the weirdest reaction in the world. You hurt, you knocked them out and you already know it. Like, and you're going away. But I guess I just kind of looked at him, he was still going, you know, he wasn't going anywhere, standing on his feet. But like you say, the right hooks that we exchanged, if you watch it, I jumped in with like a 1-2 or something from out of distance, too far away. Mm. He dipped down, he missed them, slipped under and came back and caught me with a left hand.
That's right.
But something that we've worked on with Adam is that as soon as you get touched, the first thing you should do is defense and to drop low. Mm-hmm. If you watch like Roberto Duran, that's one of the first things he does. He had great head movement. As soon as he gets touched with a punch, he drops around. He drops low always. And if you watch, he hits me with the left hand. I drop down low, and then first thing I do is get my feet on. My feet are underneath me. And if you watch my feet position before that, the start of the exchange, before I threw the first 1-2, you'll see that my feet position to his. My feet is underneath me. His right hook starts from almost an orthodox position, and my right hook is that much closer to his chin, and that's the difference. So he got caught kind of square with it, you know. So
that's another thing that really impressed me. You can tell that you're doing serious work yourself and Adam, because even in the clinches, that even the times that he did jump in with combinations, your defense, your chin was tucked right down, and you wrapped him up very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, before, you know, in some of your fights, your legs, your stance was maybe too wide, where you're unbalanced, you know, chin up in the air a little bit. Everything is coming together now. Everything seems to be coming more compact.
It's only the last 6 months, really, and really the last 3 or 4 weeks in this training camp that found like reached a new level of togetherness and like my body being connected and my coordination and just things being becoming ingrained, and where we drilled it so much and so much and so much that now it's coming like second nature. And you can see even like the difference between the Jackson fight, there was signs of it, but the difference between that two fights is my position, my legs and my body position is not as upright. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I was still learning, like when you're in a stressful position, like situation, you revert to the things that you know, which you're comfortable with, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was like with Jackson, there was still a little bit of that, but not with this fight, you know. There was this fight was ingrained, and
you stuck to the system.
Mm-hmm. Your coach, Adam Boots, is nicknamed kind of aptly again the Dark Lord. What sort of evidence do you see, and what sort of methods do you see that give him that nickname? I know he probably got it after he pulled off the victory George Groves against James DeGale, or maybe before that with David Hayes' achievements. But what do you see that gives him such a status?
It's just a good joker. He laughs at it, you know. I think he likes it more. No, it's a good the Dark Lord. It's mysterious, isn't it? I tell you what, there's not many men like Adam in terms of being a good person. You know what I mean? He is a genuinely good man, and he's very, very generous with his time and with. Like if you're a friend of his, you're a lucky person, because he looks after. I mean, in any way he can, like he's very.
A number of the things he's kind of been working on with you have proved to be successful. You've spoke a lot about the way he gets you to dip low and then punch from down low and catch people. he posts a video on Instagram, or one of the Twitter followers alerted us to it, of you just throwing that right hook hundreds of times in one small video. Yeah. A lot of the techniques he's been presumably working on with you have come good. It's a big vindication for his methods as well, is it?
Yeah, and I'm, like, as much as I'm happy for myself, I'm happy for him because, you know, he's put a lot of work in with me, you know, and for him, like someone sent a message and made a comment, and it was really true because for him to do what he did with David Hay and George Groves and that, you know, he's had them from the start and kind of always groomed them for stardom and stuff, and they were physically gifted, like, especially David Hay, genetically very gifted, you know what I mean? So he was destined to be an athlete anyway, but to do it with someone like me, who a lot of people have given up hope on, you know, like, who had written off, and, you know, at the start there was some hype, but then over the years it's kind of waned, and I don't think a lot, like, most people wouldn't have given me a chance to become world champion, especially after the Chavez fight. So for him to do that, like, turn my career around in 2 years, is big, you know, a big feather in his cap. And, you know, he's had me, oh, like...
It certainly adds to the mystique as well, this Dark Lord thing. If he took over you, look, just two years ago, really, and I'm not saying that you're a busted flush, but...
He's in, like, every day he's getting calls from different fighters to train, but he won't train them unless it's the right match, you know. He's someone who's very spare.
Did you have to impress him in some sort of kind of personal trial, almost?
Well, in a way, the first few months we were very touchy, feeling each other out, and... I did pads with him, and it was like I couldn't do anything he wanted me to do. You know, I knew my technique was totally different, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And especially I'd been off for a few months, so out of Chavez fight, so I wasn't really up to it. But yeah, it was definitely a trial. I think he was, he said himself he didn't know what he could do with me, or knowing how I, but I just give it 100%, you know what I mean? Everything he told me, even though a lot of times I didn't think it was right, I went against everything that was told before. I just trusted it and went for it, you know. And he's an unbelievable trainer in terms of the technical side of things, you know, and being able to communicate what he wants as well. He's very, very good. And the physical side, he has a good mix of the, like, he doesn't need any strength and conditioning coach to work with him, because he probably knows more than, you know, he's well educated on the human body and the physiology. He used to be a lecturer in physiology in England, in London. So he's, you know what I mean? And the psychology part, you know, he knows what it is. Like, he knows what it is to fight, to get in there and fight. And he's a brilliant coach, you know what I mean? You can see it. All you have to do is listen to him talk, and he's as good as they get.
A little slit in the left eyelid of Andy Lee now. Seemed to be a big problem, but we'll see how it goes. The two southpaws go at it now in the sixth round. Korobov out in front in the fight unofficially. Very close round, but Korobov just working a little bit more, landing a few more shots than is Andy Lee.
I thought Lee had the edge. I'm going to disagree with you on that last round, Colonel. I thought Lee had a little bit of an edge in that last round.
Well, that's good. That's good. I'm glad. If you think he won that round, that's good that we get it out there, because it was a close round. And that's kind of the way that Korobov has, you know, won the first four rounds, and I gave him the fifth round, but I expect that the judges could be split on maybe one or two of these rounds. Korobov puts some pressure on him, and he spins him around. And he lets him go. Working themselves out.
Korobov finally seems to have found the trainer, Charles Mooney, though, whom he feels completely comfortable with. Oh, nice left
hand. Oh, and Korobov could whack with the left hand. And here comes Andy Lee in now. So Korobov looked like he landed, and watch this. Look at these shots. Andy stops the fight. Teddy Baylor stops the fight. You know why? Too many unanswered punches. Andy Lee is a brand new WBO middleweight champion of the world.
It came out of nowhere, just out of nowhere. He landed the one big punch that wobbled Korobov.
And right before that, it looked like Andy had been hurt. And then all of a sudden, Korobov gets whacked, and Andy Lee swarms him to the point where Kenny Bayless didn't want to see him take any more flush punches, and that he couldn't defend himself. Andy Lee, how about that for all of my friends watching in Ireland? Andy Lee, the WBO middleweight champion of the world.
And just taking up about the kind of fulfilling your ambition and kind of reaching that goal. You landed 17 or 18 punches, I think, after stepping away, thinking that he might be gone down. That kind of seemed to sum up as a moment that no one's taking this away from me.
You know, I had thought about that moment before the fight and pitch it. Like I said, if I do get a chance, I'll let it rip, you know what I mean? Because you'll always regret it if I didn't, you know what I mean, if I let him off the hook. So I knew that referee was close to stopping it, but he seemed to take forever. And until he stopped, there was no point in stopping punching, you know. And like I said, I'd boxed within myself a bit, so I had plenty of reserves, you know, I had plenty of energy. But had he survived, I probably would have been finished after that. You know what I mean? Had he got through that round, it probably would have been the end of me as well. So it's a calculated risk, but it's worth taking. It's one worth taking, you know, to win the fight.
Well, at Four Thumps, we consider ourselves kind of lucky charms, because in our first show, we had Katie Taylor and Andy Lee, and both of them won world titles in the weeks that followed. So it's been a very good year for Irish boxing. And John O'Carroll, one prize fighter after we featured him. Yeah, so we are
doing okay.
We're on a decent run. But like internationally, it's been a really poor year. A lot of the big fights haven't been made, and there's still a lot of international mismatches. There's actually a great article on Grantland about the year that it's been. But we want to talk to you, Andy, just about Irish boxing for a few minutes. As we come closer to the end of the show, there's going to be award seasons, Irish boxers of the year, prospects of the year, trainers of the year. Just want to get your thoughts on it. Like, who would be your Irish boxer of the year? And do you think a certain Mr. Andy Lee will be in the running for this one?
I'm in the running. Why not? Yeah, two big fights in America. Three fights, three wins, two knockouts, world title, maybe KO of the year. Me and Carl Frampton as professionals. Katie Taylor, obviously, as amateur. I think it's been a good year overall, you know. Overall, for me personally, it's been a great year. John O'Carroll finished with he's definitely probably emerged as prospect now.
Did you get to see his prize fighter?
I watched all the prize fighter, yeah. Sick and I didn't put a few quid on him. I think a lot of us were. But when I seen his first fight, I thought, yeah, he's going to win this, you know what I mean? Because he just had the confidence and an energy that, you know, that he could do it. And he's beaten Declan Garrity as well. That's a good win as well for him. So it's definitely looking good for him. Stephen Norman's unfortunate to have his fights cancelled, I guess. Spike O'Sullivan had a great knockout over Fitzgerald, you know. Mm. Probably in a big grudge match.
Actually, he robbed your celebration as well. Did you see that?
No.
I said, Spike, he robbed your celebration. You know where you are with the hand up in the air?
Yeah, Andy Lee robbed his Marvin Hagler theme because he wore war shorts on the fight against
I only got the hat because it was Vegas and it was Hagler, Top Rank, you know what I mean? And I just said, like, this is going to mess with their heads a bit. So I got it, you know, I got that war hat on, yeah. I got it made in Las Vegas while I was there. Yeah, I think it's been a good year for Irish boxing. What do you guys think?
For Irish boxing, it's been a very good year. Like, I mean, we started off the year with no world champions, and myself and Kieran both work for newspapers, and it can be a struggle sometimes to get space in the newspapers, and you know, there's still no boxing coverage on RTE, and like you see now yourself, the media attention in your own achievements is massive. And Carl Frampton's had a similar boost up in Belfast. There's insane interest in him. There was a press conference yesterday to announce his next fight against mandatory Chris Avalos, but the amount of media there, like from different sections of the same organisations usually, so like the BBC will send someone from their news, from their online, you know, they'll send several people, like, and it can only be good, it can only be a positive thing. And we're looking in the south for a new headliner to bring bills here, especially after the really disappointing Matthew Macklin defeat last month. And Andy, there was a lot of people said after the fight, geez, there's some pressure on Andy Lee now. Andy Lee has to do this. And so you came good on that score. There is a chance now that you could be the next big headliner in Ireland.
I'd say it's a certainty. Who else is there down here to fight? It's me. And I'm going to do it. I'm going to, not like you said, for the good of Irish boxing, it'll be a boost for everybody. And possibly get it back on TV, RTE, you know. And like I said, the young guys who I've mentioned already, it gives them an opportunity, and they could be the next ones coming, and the people who come to see me will come in there, you know, get to see them fight, and there'll be new fans for them as well. So yeah, it's like you said, it keeps the whole thing, keeps it going. And there are many big, hopefully at least two Irish shows next year, at least, you know, two defences in Ireland at least.
I was speaking to Frank Warren earlier in the week just to see what his thoughts were, obviously, with the your obligation, I suppose, that's going to come up to fight Saunders. And he wasn't ruling in or ruling out the possibility of fighting in Ireland, but you're determined, even in the ring, the speech that Eric was mentioning with Max Kellerman, your intent is to fight in Ireland, and you won't be happy if it doesn't come off.
Yeah, as I said, like, you don't get... The appetite's here now. If it's not here now, it'll never be here. You know, for a fight, for me to headline a fight. And certainly in Limerick, I know the only thing about doing an outdoor fight like in Tone Park would be the weather issue. So it might have to be in the summer, wait until the summer until then. But certainly want to do a fight in Ireland, yeah. If not my first defence, my second defence, yeah.
How long will you, like, I mean, is Adam already looking at those type of things, or will you wait until the new year before you kind of sit down? And
We spoke about it. Adam's met with Frank Warren as well. So they're just, it's very much feeling each other out, I guess, with the Billy Joe Saunders, whether I have to fight him initially, whether they want to make the fight initially. See, you know, with Box Nation being a subscription-driven channel, it's important that, I guess it's important for Frank Warren to have two guys who could drive subscriptions, like me and Billy Joe Saunders. If we fight each other, then that's an elimination of one of those. So if he could put Billy Joe Saunders in a fight in, say, February or whatever, or March, and me in a fight in a month later, that's two months of these TVs where people are going to subscribe and tune in. So if I had to fight Billy Joe next, it's not a big deal to me, you know what I mean? I've got to fight somebody. It's going to be a top 10 contender, and Billy Joe's as good as anybody out there, and why not Billy Joe? Yeah.
In boxing journalism, you hear more stuff kind of off record than you do on record, and it was said to me by someone that Andy Lee doesn't need to fight Billy Joe Saunders next because it's a high risk, maybe low reward fight. Andy Lee could bring over Bozo the fucking clown and he'd fight him in Ireland. What are your thoughts on, do you want to kind of, Billy Joe Saunders is obviously a tough fight, mandatory fight. Is your team going to be looking to negotiate something, I wouldn't say a bit easier, but maybe, you know, just a home showcase fight, a decent fight, and then put it again on the line against Saunders?
As I said, yeah, I don't know. Like, what I would like to have a defence in Ireland, you know, maybe against, maybe in Dublin or something like that, and get it on RT and have, like you say, a showcase fight against a top, and then the summer fight Billy Joe Saunders in Tomlin Park in a mass, you know, in an event, really, not just a show but an event. That could possibly happen. I'm sure Frank Warren would be interested, you know what I mean? And
I have to ask as well, one of our previous guests on the show and a guy you spoke about earlier on, Spike O'Sullivan, will be interested, and he might be the top middleweight contender in Ireland at the minute. Will you wait and see what Matthew Macklin's next choice will be? Because I've heard as well that maybe Matthew feels last year his last defeat kind of came as a reason he was overtrained during the year and maybe not past it, and he'll see how he feels in the new year. I'm not aware of who he is, but would you be interested in putting it on the line against maybe O'Sullivan or Macklin should he make his return?
Maybe O'Sullivan. But he's behind Billy Joe. He lost to Billy Joe Saunders, and so there's not really much. I can't really fight Spike O'Sullivan and not fight Billy Joe Saunders. You know what I mean? That won't really happen. So, but maybe by the end of the year, maybe if Spike O'Sullivan beats Chris Eubank, then he's a legitimate contender. You know, so that could be a possibility in the future. Yeah. Macklin, I don't know if he's going to fight again, and I don't know if the appetite's there for it now, really. I don't know what would be a hard sell.
I think seeing you win the title maybe gave him a bit of hunger there anyway. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, but you know, it's like the fight could have been made a long time ago, and it's a shame now that he's lost, you know what I mean? Because a lot of the prestige would have been gone off it, you know what I mean? If we'd fought last year, then both of us were still contenders, and it would have meant something, it would have had a significance to it. Now it's kind of like, maybe he'd probably be a hard fight, a very hard fight for me, because he'd be up for it, you know what I mean? And he'd raise his game, but now it would be like, oh, well, he's just wouldn't have the same lack. I don't know how to put frame it, but it wouldn't have the same, was it, the same gloss to it.
I don't know. I think, you know, I think Macklin had his chance. I think he had his day in the sun, you know, and he was very unlucky against Felix Sturm. You know, I really believe that, you know, maybe that was his chance. But look, it's unfortunate. Some people, you know, get the break. Some people don't. If you look at the past couple of months in your life, you were set up to box Golovkin. You were set up to box Cotto. Mm-hmm. These fell through. Fast forward a couple of weeks, you're world champion. Yeah. You know, it can be an insecure business at times, but then it can also be very rewarding if you're prepared and you're ready. And luck makes, you know, preparation, or luck is when preparation meets opportunity. And you've always been prepared, Andy. And that's, you know, we're going back to how you spoke about you weren't any less talented or more talented than us as boxers, but you've always had the belief and you were always ready. That's what you said, that was your statement, and I believe that. And you know, that's a credit to you and testament to you that you didn't have off seasons. You were always in the gym, you were always working away and always ready for any potential opportunity. But looking at boxing now, you've got Andy Lee, Carol Frampton, two world champions. We have a female, Katie Taylor, world champion. We have three or four amateurs in the top 10. We're coming into, approaching 2015, which is the Olympic qualifying year for Rio 2016. Boxing is at an all-time high here in Ireland. Mm. Let's just hope we can get big shows with Andy headlining them, you know, getting the mainstream television back, you know, back on track, you know, because the Irish people need something to shout about, you know? They want something to cheer about because, you know, we're very passionate and we're very loyal fans, you know? We get behind the football and we get behind the rugby, and we really do, and we always support, and we support in our droves. But let's get behind the boxing now, because they're the ones that's raising that tricolour, you know? In the four corners of this globe, they're raising that tricolour and they're playing the Ron Aveen time and time again, junior level, schoolboy level, and senior level, and in the professional game as well, female and male. So let's get behind them as a country and back them, and it'll give us all something to really, you know, to really smile about and cheer about, because there's been times when we've had dark days through sport, whether that's football, rugby or whatever, but I believe every sport should get a fair crack at the whip, and these guys are leading the way. These are our greatest ambassadors, you know.
I'm ready to kill someone after that. Yeah. I really am. I'm going to just kill someone. I swear to God.
But it's true for him. No, whatever our population is, just over 4 million. The success we have as in boxing, professional amateur, far out. No, we punch them well above our weight, with the pun. And
never apologize.
Yeah. And it's true. It should be celebrated and should be made more of a deal of. Yeah.
Well, there's been songs written about you, Andy. New verses.
Yeah. Can I give a rendition of that song, can I?
Own that batteries.
Singing in your family as well. I'm sure you'll be able to do a bit of harmony for him or something.
Yeah. I actually met that fella some months ago. He owns a shop on the north side near Abbey Street, and gentleman, I have to go over and see him now.
Did you hear the podcast with Tyson Fury?
No.
I asked Tyson Fury to give me a rendition of one of his classics, classics or whatever.
He
said, Eric, I can't sing, but I will sing. But I can't sing now. He said, I'm over in London and I'm ready to go into a tube. There's about 200 people around me. But he promised that when he beats the show, he'll come back to us. So we're going to hold him to his word. But I think the best line in that song was, when he hit you with that right hook, you're on a holiday you did not book. Compliments of Andy Lee. Brilliant. Oh man, I got some entertainment out of that.
Andy, I think it's a good thing that you won the world title, because the boy band isn't going to take off.
He'd just be the backing dancer anyway.
He'd be the eye candy at the front there. All right.
I chance my arm at anything, Kieran. Hence the reason I'm co-presenter on Four Thumbs.
Well, thankfully your presentation skills are a bit better than the singing.
But yeah, look, I suppose we'll wrap it up there, Andy. It's been a privilege, and thanks a million for joining us today on Four Thumbs.
Yeah.
World champion, WBO. First Irishman since Steve Collins to hold that belt.
Was he middleweight or super middleweight?
Yeah, WBO middleweight. I spoke to Steve during the week. He was just saying it was an incredible win because you'd beaten adversity and you hadn't done it the hard way, and there's lots of lads that get stuff handed to them. And I said, oh yeah, sure. You know, you lost a few of those big fights before you won the world title. He goes, I didn't lose those three fights. I got robbed three times.
Yeah. So, one thing about Steve Collins is he's always been a good backer of me. You know, he's always given me a good plug and he's always had a good word for me. So I'm very appreciative, and it's always meant a lot to me, you know, to have him say good words about me. So Even in the Chavez to build up, and since then he's always given me a good plug. So,
and he's one of the men who's tried and failed to win a world title in America since Jimmy McLaren in 1934. Steve had two shots over there that were unsuccessful. So, but there's so many great names like Sean Mannion, and you know, even just more recently like Matthew Macklin's been unlucky over there. But there's been so many defeated boxers. Barry McGuigan lost his title fight over there as well. So, yeah, it shows the scale of the achievement. As he tipped you to become Ireland's first ever three-weight world champion, he was talking about going up, not going down.
Yeah, I played him. I could actually said that. Me and Adam actually spoke about it. Going up or going down, and there's a real possibility if the right opportunity comes along. There are champions out there who I'd like to face, and we'll see what happens.
Regardless of what happens, Andy, you know, you're champion of the world, yeah. And I'm delighted for you. And, you know, we have to remember this because Khabibov wasn't even counted out before people were talking about defences and talking about Thomond Park and the Tree Arena and, you know, et cetera, and potential opponents. Look, you're champion of the world. Soak it up. Live it up. You've worked hard to get to it and just enjoy it. And, I'm just over the moon for you, and look forward to hearing what's in store for you next. But enjoy being world champion for now, champ.
Okay. Thanks very much, lads, and pleasure to be the first and the final of this series of Four Thumps, and many more to come in the future.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Cheers, Andy.
Brilliant. Lovely.
We want to thank all the people who've interacted with the show since we've started up eight shows ago. We're hoping to come back in the new year with a new backer and all that sort of thing, but it's to be decided next year. We'd just like to thank everybody who's helped us out, got us a leg up. Thanks, Eric, for all your insightful comments throughout the year. Kieran as well, same to you. And as well, Kieran did every week, was doing the sterling work, piecing the thing together. We also had some earlier assistance from Mick O'Brien, so thanks to everybody. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
You heard of Limerick? Well, that's in Ireland, and that's where Andy hailed from. The world title is in his hand, and he's part of a special band that included Collins, Steve-O. You've heard of Jet Li. You heard of Bruce Lee. Now you're gonna hear about Andy Lee. When he hits you with his right hook, you're on a holiday you did not book. Compliments of Andy Lee. Well done, Andy, from all the people in Ireland and Dublin and the city centre. We love you.
But the Irish, get in!